This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
And I'm Chris Palmer.
And we're all alone here at the moment. I think Beats will be calling in any second. Mr. Cruz, on the other hand, is unavailable tonight, as far as I know. He may turn up later on. But what we wanted to talk about is actually very Cruzian. I do have his opinions on some of the things I want to talk about, though. So let me start off by giving some context to this. I mean, I was at the Newark tournament this last week, and we had some trouble getting the award ceremony going. Jonathan Alston, who was the coach, there was some problem with literally finding the awards and stuff like that. But it just got me thinking about, I mean, really, I mean, they're like, did you see them? No. Did you see them? I don't know. Where are they? I don't know. Anyway, of course, they were at two different schools, too. And we've got to point out that policy was at one school, and LD and PF at the other school, so I think there was some transit situation. But it got me thinking about the whole award ceremony thing. And one of the things that's been bothering me for a long time, first of all, is that how many people immediately leave when they are out of the tournament? As in, I mean, they don't break, they go home. And inevitably, these are the schools that are never going to break and have never seen a break round. And they're sort of perpetuating their own non-breakedness.
Yeah, I was going to say that may go a long way towards explaining why they've never been in a break round is because they don't know what they're like.
Yeah. So. And of course, they're the first people, they're immediately in the tavern. Can I have my ballots? And you know, the ballots aren't anywhere near ready for. I mean, yeah, we're like at this point, we're putting in the last couple of rounds. I mean, people don't seem to understand how ballot stuffing. We like ballot stuffing. We stuff as many ballots as we can, but it really isn't a priority in a tournament. I mean, it's something that has to be done. But I certainly time it in my tournament that I'll have them after the award ceremony, which is hours after the first break round. There's no question about that. But there are always people. And the other thing is, of course, there are always the people who have the shortest distance to travel to get home. You know, if somebody comes, I have a 27-hour bus ride. Can I have, you know, we're going to leave now. At least I would understand that. You know, we got a 7-minute bus ride. We better leave now. No, you know. And my first, I mean, yeah, so first of all, it is bad for them as, you know, like we just said, because they're not watching break rounds. They're not really getting to see good debaters in good debates. I mean, because they may, in fact, debate those good debaters themselves and get creamed and then go down and debate all the other down fours or whatever. But they never actually get to see a good debate. So they're not learning from this. But I also think it's just terribly rude. I mean, it seems to me that if you go to a competitive event like this, at some point you have some responsibility to participate in the event and to honor everybody who actually won the event, to honor the people that beat you by sitting there and applauding for them, just as you would want them to applaud for you if you were the, you know, if the situation were reverse. So, I mean, it just strikes me as bad manners and bad coaching and bad control of a team at the same time.
I think it also can affect the nature of the team itself, too. I mean, teams can tend to come and go as a matter of culture, not just a matter of success and talent. And I find that the teams that tend to leave early are the teams that are more likely to view a debate tournament as a field trip, whereas the teams that stay no matter what, or at least stay for a couple rounds after when they're out, are the teams that view it much more as a competitive activity and something that's worthy of working towards. And I think you're sending, by saying we're getting the hell out of here as soon as we can, you're sending a message to the students that, you know, these things aren't really worth doing and these things aren't really worth participating in. Whereas if you have a team that is new and doesn't break and, you know, your kids are still going, you know, 3-3 or whatever at best, but you still stay through quarters, you're telling the kids, well, we're going to be here anyway. The tournament's going to be here. We're going to be here until the award ceremony's done. You may as well work your butt off and be in that quarter, you know, because you're going to watch it one way or the other. If you're going to be in the room, why not be the one talking?
Yeah. You know? I have to admit, I do have problems sometimes with new debaters, getting them to understand that when they're not debating, that doesn't mean the weekend is over. I mean, you go in and you watch rounds and you flow rounds.
Right.
I was watching
But if
this,
you maintain that ethic all the way through your 4 years, then you've got problems, I think. You know,
yeah.
Then
it,
So then it's you're really shooting yourself in the foot.
Because I was watching, I think Jonathan actually at Newark was, the kids were flowing the rounds because if they went to the rounds and flowed the rounds, they got like credit, because there's a debate class or something like that. So all the little kids, all the little people were showing up at all the break rounds. That's cool, because that way they were learning. And he had a lot of people running the tournament. I mean, it's a pretty big organization, so there was he didn't have to like use every single novice every single minute of the weekend. So they were actually doing good stuff, which was good. And there is that. But the other thing is there is a tendency among some tournaments.
Well, before we
literally
get
not to have a.
Before we get on to tournaments, the one thing I would point out, too, is that the schools that leave early invariably are also asking for special consideration because they're abandoning before their judge commitment has been fulfilled.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another
issue. And they're always given that passive-aggressive, well, we do, we do have to stay, but are you really going to keep all my kids here just so I could judge one round? And you don't want to feel like – they make you feel like the asshole in that situation if you insist on it.
But also, they're the judge you really don't want to stay because
well,
they're always –
that's usually the case.
I mean, I've had that conversation with various parents where I have theater tickets tonight. Didn't you know you were coming to a debate tournament today? I don't care that you have theater tickets tonight.
Right.
And I got to go. And they're going to go. I can't hold them there. I can't make them stay. But they have – I mean, they're oblivious to the obligation. At least the coaches are just ignoring it. The parents are oblivious to it. And I do have some teams that have coaches, but it's just parents that come, and the coaches never tell them anything. The coaches are totally irresponsible. I mean, I make a joke of this, but it's absolutely true that I've had parents come to me and say – when they ask me questions, I say, talk to your coach. And they literally say, we have a coach? What coach? It's like they absolutely don't know they have a coach. They've never talked to the coach. And they're chaperoning 20 kids, at a
well,
tournament.
In some cases, you don't necessarily know that they have a coach. You just heard rumors to that effect, too.
There are a couple of those coaches around. I have to admit, there's a coach or two that if I see them once every 2 years, it's a miracle.
Yeah. I mean, there are some coaches who I'm still convinced are just elaborate hoaxes. The rest of you are playing on me. Because after doing this activity for 15 years, I feel like I should have met these people, and I still have not.
But, I mean, when they sign up for your tournaments, you know that these people may not exist for real. And they certainly don't do anything. Anyhow, the next point I was making, I wrote this up. I don't know if I said this already, but I had written this up in my blog today, was that I do think tournaments should have award ceremonies, and I see a definite trend of tournaments not having award ceremonies. I mean, there's a bunch of tournaments I go to, maybe not a trend, but there's certainly some tournaments that simply say, okay, we're going to have break rounds now, and we'll give an award at the end of this break round, and that's the end of it. I mean, there's nothing else. So the tournament just sort of peters out, which I just don't like that thing. I mean, I don't buy that.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate here, because and it's a shame Cruz isn't here for me to say this, because I would like to see him change color as I did. I tend to not be a big awards person, and I'm not a big trophy guy, and I tend to believe that even, he has arguments that relate to the school support of the team, which is fair, because I've never had to defend the existence of a team to a school administration, but at the same time, the kids who are in this to win big shiny trophies, I kind of don't want those kids in debate, because it's not the right reason to be in debate, and if they really need 100 people to clap at them to make them feel good at themselves about themselves, then I kind of don't want to coach those kids. I kind of don't want to deal with those kids, because those aren't the kids who have their heads screwed on the right way so they can learn enough and everything they can from the activity. So I don't think it terribly unfair when a tournament director is looking at their schedule and trying to pack as much as they can into a weekend to say, well, do we need to take a 45-minute break out here, or can we have another elim round?
I think it doesn't have to be the 45 minutes, and I think there's ways. I mean, certainly stopping the tournament dead in its tracks is a bad idea. I mean, for so many reasons. And yeah, people do have to go. I mean, anybody who comes to my tournament, for instance, but you guys, I mean, Lexington, for instance, is going to have a four-hour ride to go home. That has to be accommodated. So you want to have the tournament at a reasonable time. But by the same token, it seems to me like if I have a two-day event And in the 2 day event, we're sort of it's a tribal event. I mean, we are all debaters, you know, coaches, whatever. We start out together. There's always got to be some kind of announcements at the beginning, and yeah, and the idea that at the end, I mean, that we will have some kind of acknowledgement of what happened here. That there's that it's part of the narrative of a tournament, I guess, is what I'm feeling. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so the end is when this happens. And I don't necessarily think...
But are you saying that out of a sense of tradition, though, or a sense...
A little bit out of a sense of tradition, but also a sense of just... I actually disagree with you, and I think that kids ought to, I mean, not that, I don't disagree that kids, I'm not doing it just so the same kids can win trophies all the time, but that there should be, that the acknowledgement of the achievement, I mean, it's hard to win trophies, and right. It's hard to do well, and that everybody should acknowledge that this happened. If it's a, any sporting event, is going to have some kind of thing where we acknowledge the winners at the end. I mean, we may not have an award ceremony, but we'll carry Joe Blow over the gridiron or whatever it is that you do. You know, we'll pour Gatorade on them or whatever. We don't. The Super Bowl at the end of the Super Bowl doesn't just stop and okay, it's over. And I mean, the players don't just stop. Okay, I'm going home now. I'm sure they don't do that.
The thing is that at an ordinary football game, that's what they do, really. I mean, the Super Bowl is different. It's at the end of the year, but of course, there's probably a little bit more pageantry at the TOC than there is at most tournaments, too.
Well, what do they do at a high school tournament?
A normal high school football game, or any kind of sporting event, a track event.
What happens at a track event?
They shake each other's hands and go home.
Okay, well, this is the shaking of the hands, because there's no shaking of hands otherwise.
Yeah, but that's what... Oh, sure there is. I mean, what we do is we have the two finalists take an awkward photograph where they pretend to like each other so Cruz can put them on the internet, and then they shake their hands and... go home. I mean, I really don't see the...
There's going to be 10 speakers.
The people who celebrate you at a sporting event, if that's the parallel, are the people who watched, right? Mm-hmm. The people who are there to see. And there are usually a fair number of people who stick around long enough to watch a final round at a big tournament. And, you know, what happens at the end? They clap, right? And then a decision is announced and they clap again and give the trophies. I don't see where that's not sufficient. You know, and the other element of it too, and the thing that has changed over the years is the other thing is they get splashed all over the internet, so the entire community can see them.
Their Facebook walls get bombed.
Everybody says, "Oh God, congratulations, way to go!" You know, and I've seen this happen many, many times.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't see. I think it's for me. The question is all of that the ceremony? Is that worth again another round? And I kind of would, in most cases, prefer to have the other round because that's what we're there for.
But I think you could do. Most award ceremonies are just dreadful, anyhow. I mean, if the award ceremony is efficient and quick and fun, it won't really matter. Now, let's face it. Speaking for Cruz now, who has as many award ceremonies as he does, rounds. He starts with these service awards. He's decided he's going to give various service awards. They don't interfere with the tournament at all. So he gets his whatever benefit
that's
he gets out of this.
School is still going on at Bronx when he gives those. So
right.
It's not like we
and I'm still tabbing. Yeah, you know, we're still working on whatever it is we do when we get started. So it doesn't interfere with anything. And so he gets to have the benefit of, you know, which he could articulate better than anyone, whatever it is that
now
he does.
Now I'm grateful that he's not here, right?
But I'm fine with, I understand. I appreciate that he does this for reasons that he sincerely believes in, and you know they're good. There's nothing wrong with them. So he has these awards, and they don't interfere with anything. And then all he does after that, I mean, he's learned this. It took him a little while to learn it. But then at the end of any particular run, he has speaker awards. So everybody gets together for the speaker awards, and then they give out the next. Schematics, and then they go off to whatever break round that happens to be. Of course, he has a very luxurious schedule because he's doing it over the space of 3 days. But nonetheless, it's not interfering with this, and you know he gets to have the acknowledgement of the players. And okay, so what you're saying is true. Like okay, so you know X wins the tournament, but that's only two people. I mean, or one person. You know, and everybody else. You know, so you have the picture of the two finalists. But like I said, there's 10 speaker awards. There's people who got to octos and whatever. And for a lot of people, getting, even just breaking, maybe it's the first time they broke or something like that. There's some measure of, okay, I broke and then I lost. As compared to I broke and then I lost, and then they applauded for me and I got a little award. Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate the benefit of that for the students. I like it. Maybe I'm not as articulate as I could be in supporting all the reasons why I like it. I just sort of intuitively like the idea.
I think I don't see that the ceremonies that we conduct are really that worthwhile for the students. Because what do they really get? You know, they get Hendrick Hudson High School Jim Menick, clap. Mm-hmm. You know, Lexington High School Chris Palmer, clap. You know, Harvard Westlake, Mike Beats, clap. That's all they get, right?
But they get to take the walk.
Well, they get sometimes. These kids are so bad at the walk that it's usually this confused mill of adolescence.
So mill of adolescence, but it gets them up to wherever the award is. They actually pick up the award. I think it is a memorable, especially in the beginning, especially for the ones, I mean, the ones who do it all the time, it's pretty much, you know, whatever. A lot of these people, you know, I think it is a very memorable moment. And even if it is, from our perspective, you know, Chris Palmer, blah, 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 whoosh, 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 and then you're giving out the next one, from their perspective is, they're sitting there, they're going to call my name, oh, that's me. Whoosh. I got to get up. Let me out. So there's a whole song and they get up and then they trip and they'll never forget what an idiot they were. Like, they will be 60 years old. I promise you.
Yeah,
they
that's
will be
true.
60 years old and they'll look back. I can't believe I did that when I was 14. Yeah, I mean, I feel like whatever it was I did when I was 14, if it was bad, I remember it. I can't remember
what
it
was. That's true. And
lunch.
Most of it was bad because you were 14.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, so you remember that, but you also will have a fondness and you remember, oh, you know, I remember that award and that was cool. And, yeah, because so these things have the bright light of importance shown on them in one's own mind at that moment, and it's satisfying to have done that. And then you have your little whatever it is that they give you, and you have this, and it's like, that's really cool. I mean, you know, you see this at usually college tournaments, where somebody's getting an award and like everybody's taking pictures like it's going out of style, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, who the hell are these people taking pictures?
Those are actually the speech people for the most part.
Yeah, and it tends to be the speech people, but
well,
it's the same
speech
idea.
People, I think it's actually slightly different for two reasons. Yeah, one is that the speech people, there are far, far more people in the final round, right? You know, you get six per event, so there are 30 speech finalists at Yale, whereas there are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, there are 8 entries in finals total in debate, right? And so it's a far broader scope of people, you know, and therefore far more schools that have a kid in the final, far more people there waiting to watch. And the other thing that's the kicker in speech is that nobody knows the results, right? It's a complete mystery to you until the award ceremony begins, who actually won. And that adds a lot of excitement and a lot of tension to the award ceremony that just simply is impossible in debate in the era where we disclose. Some people go so far as to say that's why you shouldn't disclose, and I don't agree with that. But I do think that disclosure does undermine a lot of the drama.
We have to disclose until we get there.
You have to disclose up until the point.
I mean, you can't not tell the octafinalists who's going into quarters.
But even
know.
If you say ran the octo, like if you ran the award ceremony right after the octafinals, at this point the kids basically know if they're getting a speaker.
Yeah, I remember we did this at Bump where I used to not tell and we would announce because it was the bid round, and so we'd say who got the bids at the thing, and Juan said to me, well, stop doing that. I said, okay. And so we just stopped doing it.
We're posting rounds every round. All the kids who are getting speaker points awards know that they're going to get a speaker award.
I guess
for the
they
most
do.
Part.
Tend to
you
know
they know within
there.
A couple spaces, right? You know, they're like, oh, okay, I'll probably be like 8th, you know? And if they really wanted to, they could sit there and figure it out. But boy, I'd have to look at them funny if they tried.
Believe me, there are some that do. I mean, there are.
You know, and I like these things. It's not that I'm saying, oh, we should stop disclosure and stop, you know, posting results because it'll make award ceremonies better. No, I'm saying the complete opposite. You know, I think they undermine award ceremonies, but I don't mind that. I don't think that's what debate is about. And I don't really, I don't know, I don't think it adds a hell of a lot. I've sat in more award ceremonies where I felt like, oh, good God, I'm never getting that out of my life back.
Well, most of them is because they're so poorly done. I mean, most of the award ceremonies are like horrible, horrible. I mean, because most people...
But how do you do
them? Well, people, first of all, they do them... People don't do them quickly.
Well, that's true. Know. But if you do them too quickly, then you undercut the, you know, the...
Well, Bond is our go-to person for an award ceremony, and he moves them along pretty quickly, but I don't feel that they're going too fast. I mean, he'll do it in 15, 20 minutes, and that's not a hell of a lot of time, and everybody gets acknowledged, and everybody gets their awards, and doesn't screw anything up. I mean, we did Columbia, so you had speech awards. I mean, probably a little longer than that because they had all those speech awards, but certainly the debate awards don't take all that long. You can make debate awards take a really long time if you really fumble your way through it.
If you print the thing that TRPC calls the reading copy and actually read it, you deserve to be taken out back and shot. I mean, dear Lord, this is like, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so met in the octafinal round, and on a 2-1 decision, so-and-so won. Therefore, the octafinalist is so-and-so. And by then, you already should be done that event. Okay? Yeah. Like, you've read One Child, and you should be done the event.
I guess I have some fondness, I mean, for the traditions that I've put in my tournament. I mean, everybody has tradition. I mean, Lexington has. You have a new tradition now. You have a couple of traditions.
Yeah, we started the giant red plastic horn award.
And you may have ended the... I mean, you used to have the, like, whatever it was award that was really nice. I got one somewhere.
The coaches Lexington. Award. Yeah, no, we still have that. We still have that. We gave it to a policy coach this year, so therefore it's the other awards.
Yeah, so there are...
For those in the audience, the Lexington Coaches Award is given to a coach who is not a classroom teacher or a school employee. Mm-hmm. So both Mr. Menick and I are alumni of this award, as is Cruz, right? Mm-hmm. Back when he was in college?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So,
We give this to, there is a tradition of this. Now you have the it is a regular speaker award, but it happens to have a little more pomp and... involved, and it adds some fun to a tournament, and I think it identifies a tournament as being more than just Joe Blow got a 2-3 ball and then the fourth.
That is actually true, I am somewhat playing devil's advocate here to make things interesting, and you know, people, when we fight on our blog, people always respond positively, so I figured, what the hell, why? But The thing that I do think is missing from tournaments, and I'm not so sure that a grandiose award ceremony towards the end when people want to get out of there anyway is the right answer to this, but we do sort of lack a sense of grandeur. I mean, there aren't that many moments where you sort of feel the scope of what we're doing. And for me, one of the moments, and this is particular to me because of the position I'm in, is the beginning of the year kickoff when we go to Yale and we walk into Patel Chapel, which is this big, gorgeous, gothic chapel that can seat about 1,500 people, and we very nearly fill the place. And you walk in, and there's that buzz of energy and excitement, and it's usually a beautiful fall day, and that feels big. You know, it has a it has a meaning to it. It's a good way to kick off the season.
Yeah, we're back again. It's a new year. Hey.
And we're back again, and it's this beautiful surroundings. And
it's always
and
a nice day.
And the other thing I like about Yale, which is, you know, related to how it's at the beginning of the year, is no one feels like a loser at Yale. The kids who do well are happy they did well early. The kids who didn't do well haven't lost any chances. You know, no one's not going to go to the sea because they didn't bid at Yale, you know? And so there's not... I don't know. It just has a really nice feeling to it. And I'm not a lot of tournaments have a moment like that. And I'm not even sure anybody else feels that moment quite like I do, because
there's a whole lot of,
God, it's over. Thank God.
You know, I feel that Yale is very much a start of the season. We do a few things before then. If I don't count them, because I go to Yale, we see everybody and we hang out, and it's filled with kids and everybody's debating and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so that's really the first event. And then it's just a churn. And then it goes on, and then all of a sudden we get near the end, and in New York now we're going to have our state tournament, which will be like essentially April something or other.
And then we'll have
NDCA. And the NDCA, I guess, well, this will be the first year I'm going to NDCA. And
I've never, Lexington has, but I've never had.
So I guess between these two, And then TOC, I guess. But TOC seems to me tacked on. I mean, there is a hiatus before you get there, no matter what else is going on in April. Maybe not this year. Our schedule this year actually fills up most of April, and then you go into TOC, and then it's over. So I guess it's really...
Well, the thing about TOC is it's so rarefied. Yeah. I mean, it's so... You don't get to go every year, necessarily. Even if you do, you're only bringing a very handful of kids.
Yeah, I don't count on that.
Yeah, and there's no sense of everybody's there the way Yale is. I don't think you... TOC
no, not
has
at all. It's the TOC
pace.
People are there. You know, it's a right. TOC thing. I mean, some people are there every year, but I'm certainly not one of them.
Right. And you know, I don't think the TOC really gets the grandeur thing very right either, you know?
They got all kinds of stuff, but grandeur isn't the word I would use.
No, it's
a lot
not,
of words, but none of them are grandeur.
Right. It's not... I mean, the TOC tends to... it doesn't celebrate the kids very much, you know.
No.
So I don't know. It's not the same.
For me, it used to be. I mean, the New York State tournament that we used to have back when I used to go to it. It was very popular with debaters, and all the debaters would try to go. And that was really the end of the year, and that was it. Mm-hmm. After, and maybe you went to Cat Nats or something like that, but that was rare.
Yeah.
And then so you ended in April, around Easter time. And so there was, again, there was a beginning and there was an end.
Well,
Yale was always the beginning.
In Speechland, too, you have that, too, because for us in speech, CatNats was the big one, and then NFL's was the rarefied one, because CatNats, you can qualify more people, and we would usually bring a pretty substantial, we'd bring the core of the team, the kids who had been serious about it for the most part, and then in NFL's, you'd have the stripped-down squad.
So having never participated in NFL, I mean, to me, NFL is this thing that I sometimes send some kids to who don't seem to care that they're not going to graduate. Whatever.
Yeah.
You have your priorities.
Speech, it's different. Plus, we're graduated before then anyway.
We're not. I mean, it literally is the last day of nationals is graduation.
See, the seniors in Massachusetts, the underclassmen are still in class, but the seniors usually graduate in early June, and then they don't do exams.
See, we have the Regents exam, so there's absolutely you have to postpone your mandatory exams until August, which, if it's like English or something, I guess it's no big deal, but if it's like chemistry or something, you actually have to pour over. I don't know how anyone does it. They do it. I mean, people do it. I've had kids that do it, but my usual thing for kids who qualify for nationals is, I qualified. They kind of be the next day. I'm not going. We won't have that this year because we're down
now.
Being a red light district. We will.
We will be
able to qualify one person. So
right.
Won't be a lot of fighting over
one
it.
Person total or one person per event.
One person per event.
That's much less exciting. Jonathan Chavez always wanted to have the super duper final round in speech, which is the best extemper, the best DI, the best HI, everyone, the best at what they're doing, and all six of them compete against each other and get ranked.
Sounds good. Is Chavez going to be at UPenn? Just on
he will
the
be.
Side.
Yes.
Okay.
He will
good.
Be.
Haven't so. Seen him. Haven't seen him. Was he at Yale?
He was at Yale.
Trying to remember. But, it was a long time ago. Speaking of the beginning of the year, we're getting near the end of the year.
Now, to dial back a little, the NFL and CFL do try to invest a great deal of grandeur into their award ceremonies,
much to the chagrin
of everybody who attends.
They just thank themselves endlessly
for how they did this. The NFL awards ceremony is much more than just a thank you fest. I mean, the NCFL does tend to run in that direction a little bit. I'm being kind. A lot.
An hour of thanking themselves.
No, they've actually stripped it down quite a bit. But
what?
It's still
like
a very long
not thanking
ceremony.
Themselves? That would be good.
They thank themselves, but they don't spend an hour doing it.
They used to.
And then there was
And
a,
you're sitting there, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
You're going to Cat Nats, and they're thanking themselves. And we're all sitting there with our quarters because we want to bet on which speech he's going to win. So we're playing speechy bingo in the back. The guy with the red tie. I always take the guy with the red tie.
Yep.
And, somebody else has the girl with the green dress, whatever. And we're waiting there. And, there's money at stake. So I'm holding his back. I mean, it's like, believe me, I'm a Catholic. So I learned bingo at a young age. This is what
right.
you do.
And you also sit in places where people drone at you for 2 hours a lot, too. I mean, this is terribly unfamiliar, right?
Yeah, but I have to admit now,
people,
literally
I
when
I
was in church,
and then,
I, now I, we yeah. don't, you don't, shoot craps during the service.
No, you don't. Okay. But you sit there and are bored. That's certainly, you got that part down.
Okay.
I mean, I go to churches where like people like sing and respond and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm Catholic. You sit there, you get churched at, and then you go home. This is not how it works. But yeah, anyway,
you were never raised in the Latin church, were you?
No, I'm not that old.
So I was a kid, it was Latin. Yeah, talk about disconnect.
Yeah, I know. No,
but the
CFL. Yeah, I mean, we are really far off topic.
Yeah, that's all right. It's only the two of us. There's no anchors to keep us down.
Yeah, there's thousands and thousands of listeners. But the CFL, they do try to make it a culminating event, and then the NFL just takes that and. I mean, you think Cruz is bad. Boy, they just, they show videos. They have weird random raffles in the middle of the award ceremony. And inevitably, when they pull the kid's name who that win the raffle, the kid isn't there. And you have that awkward moment where they're all staring out into the dark audience waiting for some kid to say, oh, it's me. And they never, ever do. And, oh, dear Lord, it just goes on forever. But
I have never been, and I can't imagine a scenario where I will ever be. So,
well, and the point I was trying to wind my way to making, I suppose, is that to me is not a moment of grandeur. Like, that is not, and I think ultimately is because it's not participatory. You know, I don't see very many moments where we have, you know, neat things that happen that aren't essentially you're sitting there passively, you know, listening to something. And it's ultimately very unsatisfying. You know?
We do this thing at the MHL blowout. We have our last Mid-Hudson League tournament. And we did this last year for the first time, which was every novice got an award, which the coaches told us what the name of the award was for those kids. So, you know, if it was like a tall guy, it was the short guy award or whatever, you know, some kind of, you know, local joke that worked.
We did this
for them.
In itself within the team.
Essentially taking that idea and spreading it into, you know, the community as a whole. So it gave some sense of finality to that. And that was sort of fun. And, you know, it brought everybody in. And then as compared to us just doing something, I mean, they were doing, I mean, because the teams gave us this stuff. And it was usually the upperclassmen who had determined what those awards would be and stuff like that.
And see, I like things like that because you're engaged in them and you want to listen. You want to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, the mistake the NCFL and the NFL make is that very few people want to be there and they just feel they have to be there. Because I'm sitting through 4 hours to find out whether or not the extemper on my team is third place or second place in the nation.
Yeah.
And it ultimately is a whole lot of clapping for people I don't care about, and you can feel it. There's very little energy in the room towards the end of the day. You get to the big awards at the end because they do the main events last, and they announce that so-and-so is the national champion in humorous, and the round of applause that follows is the most lackluster... half-hearted, my palms are sore because I was
if
too
I
busy
win a couple
clapping.
Of bucks on that kid, then I'll be applauding, you know. We're cheering because our guy's winning. You know, you're missing how you get through this.
But at the same time, those speechy kids are going to be bored out of their minds applauding for the LDer too, you know. It's just it just doesn't leave a good taste, and it doesn't really establish and accomplish what it's supposed to. And I just don't see award ceremonies doing that much. I don't know how to replace them, and I don't know what should take that niche.
But a part of
what
this
Cruz
is,
does is nice for what it is, but I don't think everybody should give away a service award because Jesus, we'd all end up with a mantle full of them. But
part of it is the localness. I mean, local is better because nobody goes to Cat Nats. You know, a handful of people go to Cat Nats, a handful of people go to Nats, a handful of people go to TOC. Those are not universal. Whereas at least state
speech it certainly is. I mean, Cat Nats, remember, there's six events with six kids each.
Yeah, but I mean, in our district, I got a lot of kids that aren't going. You know,
you also have the hardest district of Cat Nats in the country.
Yeah. So for us, it doesn't count as a culminating event, whereas our state tournament probably does.
We bring 15 kids. You know, in Milton, we could sometimes bring like 20, 25. So
we're fighting to get into this. For us, I mean, the qualifier for Cat Nats is one of the toughest tournaments for every everything, LD and not for PF necessarily. PF tends to be small for us. Regis dominates our PF a lot. And
but
we don't have...
Down. Yeah, right? You can't take more than three teams.
They can only take three, but they beat everybody else anyhow. And so, yeah, it's sort of dispirit. We haven't had, no other school has really fielded serious and continuous PF.
Well, Bronx has a very good PF team. Bronx right now.
Is the exception. Bronx is the exception.
Yeah.
You know, because they have, what's their names there?
And, LW, their team, mm-hmm. has been tearing it up. They won Lexington. Yeah. They won
a
lot.
That's a new business. I mean, they weren't, you know, this year I can't imagine if they want to go that they wouldn't qualify, obviously. Get one of the, they, you know, easily be the top team at the qualifier. But that's new. You know, mostly it has, it's just been, last year, I'm sure that Bronx qualified a couple of people. But one year I was qualifying my novices in public forum because they just didn't get beat as much as somebody else's novices. I mean, that was how we got qualified. So for us, public forum was like, for a lot of other areas, a lot of other archdioceses, where they would just qualify anybody who showed up. So for us, it was three Regis people plus anybody who showed up that could survive all the Regis people. Yeah. So,
up here, the qualifier on the Boston side is, it's not a cakewalk by any means. There are good kids who don't get to go, but it's not vicious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a complete bloodbath. NFL is considerably harder to qualify for than CFL because we're all together. Whereas for CFL, where the state is divided in half.
Do you have two dioceses?
Yeah, Worcester is its own diocese. So the Western Mass schools get five slots, and then the Eastern Mass schools get six between them. And it's for the taking. I mean, because, you know, Lexington doesn't go to CFLs anymore. And so usually PJ just takes whatever he wants in LD. Nobody takes the policy slots. Mm-hmm. And then PF tends to be a bloodbath up here.
Yeah, you got a lot of PF up there. I mean, certainly.
Yeah, they'll get on Worcester side, it's easy because only one school really does PF out there for the most part. But in Boston side, you'll get like 30 or 40 teams at the qualifier all duking it out for 16, six slots. So.
That's big.
Boy, how did we
That's
get
really
to there?
Well, we're talking about the beginning and ends of the
of
year.
Things. Mm. Yeah. Because I do like what Cruz was doing with the opening ceremony there. And I do kind of like that it sets a tone for the tournament. I just don't know how feasible it is to have such things in lieu of that.
No one else can do it. I mean, one is enough.
I just sort of mean that type of thing. You know, a moment where we don't debate for a little while and do something else to kind of add a little burnish to the whole thing. I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's hard to choreograph because of the scheduling being what it is. I mean, first of all, you never have anything ending at the same time as anything else. I mean, they're always a little bit up. I mean, in my tournament, bump tournament, we have things are just sort of done. And then people are waiting for their LDers to be done, and then I have the award ceremony, and then everybody goes home except for the last couple of rounds. Yeah, you know, so.
Right.
And that's, but it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I try to have this thing at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like that, which seems to me a perfectly good time. Once it starts, the sun sets, then it's 7 o'clock. And, you know, after 6 o'clock, after the final round, waiting for, if in fact you're waiting for a final round, that means that two people are debating and 200 people aren't, and that's a bad balance.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're doing it after quarters or something, a lot of people are, you know, watching around. They're still engaged. I mean, if having the award ceremony when people are still engaged, I think is a key thing. After people are not engaged anymore, then it's just it's a mug's game.
Well, what do you think of this? I've given thought to this over the years, and I've never really acted very actively on it, but at a tournament like Yale, where we do wait till the bitter end before we do anything, and I'm actually very pleased when we do manage to coordinate it such that the last event ends within an hour of the first event ending. And unless there's a closeout and a final or something, we usually are pretty good about it. People don't usually have to sit around too long. And one of the things that does is it means that the debate finals are very, very well attended. You know, you don't get the normal 10 or 15 people who's straggling and hanging on to watch the finals that we do at our local tournaments. You get 100 kids, 200 kids in there watching the PF and the LD finals at Yale. They got nowhere to go.
But there's something
now,
but you remember, you're talking early in the afternoon, too. So it's not a hardship to wait around.
But what if, you know, I have toyed with the notion, and again, not seriously, but I've toyed with it, about moving Yale, shifting it forward and not having Friday rounds and moving Sunday to go later. And then that would land awards again after quarters or octos or thereabouts. And then a couple of people would have to stay later on Sunday in return for nobody having to get there on Friday. And I see advantages and disadvantages to that, but one of the advantages would be, well, one of the, I don't know if it's an advantage, one of the results would be you would have that award ceremony right about when you do at a lot of other debate tournaments after the quarter or after the octo.
So you'd have it around the same time of day.
Yeah, you'd have it the same time of day, the speech people out of there, because they're not going to sit around till 8 o'clock for an award ceremony. And you gain Friday back in return for having some people sticking around much later on Sunday.
Do you really gain? I mean, I'm going to have to be there. I'm coming up, and I'm going to have to stay overnight Friday night. So what am I really gaining here? I see. Maybe I'm just
going to miss school. And I know the travel schools would have an easier time of that because they could fly on Friday instead of Thursday. So they do gain a night on that end.
So we're still talking six rounds.
And, seven, yeah. And, well, six in a runoff.
Six in a runoff. So, and you do that all on Saturday or you have some of that?
No, you have some of that on Sunday. Yeah, some of it carries over on Sunday and just bumps it all forward. Essentially, take the schedule you got now and bump everything two rounds forward. You know, round one starts at the same time.
So you're still in prelims on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Beats does this kind of schedule of victory briefs, I gather. And, you know, he preferred it.
There is something to be said for, you know, not. I mean, I take kids out of school week after week after week. People get really tired of me doing that. And, you know,
especially
the
beginning of
the
year,
the better.
Yeah, you know, right at the beginning of the year, it's also an even harder time to be missing school.
Yeah.
And I do know a lot of the Florida schools that come up to Yale do come up on Thursday night. And I think that, you know, giving them the option to come up on Friday and still having a buffer wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It's also very hard on a school that does both debate
and
speech.
What about going back, though? Don't they have to leave? When do they leave to go back? I guess the Sunday night? I mean, they don't have to stay
over
until
Monday? Well, I mean, you also know, like you also know going into a tournament when you're, where your kids are going to be or not. I mean, right now, if you were planning to come to Yale this year, you would plan to stay late because Sophie is a very good debater and has an excellent shot of making the final, which she ended up doing. And next year, you would probably make somewhat
I'll
different
I'll be leaving
plans.
On Saturday.
Yeah, even though there are prelims on Sunday, you're still by.
Yeah, I'm out of there. No. Yeah, well, so, no, it's not even true. I got some JVers that have a shot.
There are about,
Oh,
that's JV, that's true. But there are a handful of people, but JV I'm not worried about because JV people are all driving there. No one's flying to go to JV at Yale. And so there are a handful of people who are going to say to themselves, you know what, we probably should make plans to stick around. And then everybody else is going to say, out of the hell with it. We're lucky if we're in the quarter, you know?
But, I mean, one of the things Beats had mentioned in an email today was tournaments that actually plan on leaving before the – I mean, teams that plan on leaving before the tournament is over. I mean, they make that calculation. And if that's a bad thing to make that calculation and rather than staying for the whole thing, I'd be curious to hear his – logic on that. I mean, if I want to leave, I'm going to leave, you know, for whatever reason. I think you're right. I mean, I'm going to make my determination. How well am I going to do at this tournament? If I have to fly back, when am I going to make my plane reservation? And now, you know, if I have a strong debater who has a real chance of going as far as, you know, the tournament will go, that's one flight. And if I have, like, you know, normal debaters, it'll be a different flight, you know.
And it sometimes can get screwed up. I know that the team that won the AOC and PF this year had to change their plane reservations because they had no freaking clue that they were ever going to get that far. And they were very, very good, but they came from Colorado. They didn't, you know, they didn't really know the circuit as well as others, and so they didn't really know where they placed within the circuit. And it was a lot higher than they had expected. You know, and that happens. But at the same time, if that did happen, again, I don't think if we were to have the Yale final at Henhud, that is necessarily an inconvenience that is so terrible that it's worth dragging everybody there a day earlier on Friday.
I like the idea. I think it's worth pursuing. I really, I sort of like the idea. It doesn't affect us terribly. I mean, everybody has a few hours to get home. It's a little bit different, but not terribly different.
Right. And the bulk tournament can leave. I mean, once the quarter is done, the tournament runs itself. We have all higher judging panels anyway.
Yeah, and you have higher judging. And frankly, most people aren't really watching things all that much. I mean, they're sort of done, you know, because it's a long, it's a long weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is the attractions of the university.
People do watch, but I don't know if they watch because that's the only thing going, you know.
I mean, people will be more inclined to watch a humor final, you know, or duo final or something like
that. We get a fairly good crowd for PF finals, actually.
I thought LD wasn't that populated this time.
Yeah, so okay.
I didn't notice it as being particularly crowded.
Yeah, I usually try to walk around or send somebody around to the finals to get a sense of how well attended they are, because that's what then dictates what rooms they get the next year. Yeah. And LD can be really variable. I think a lot of it has to do if there are kids from big teams in the final. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the variables are, but sometimes it'll be 100, sometimes it'll be 10. I don't really know.
And this year there was, I mean, probably about 20 kids or something in there watching. And,
okay.
Yeah, just the diehards more than anything.
Right.
You know.
Right.
All right. I'm thinking we've been on for a while, and Beats never did show up. John never showed up.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, well, I have an email from Beats asking if we're still talking tonight, so maybe we should have emailed and responded to that, huh?
I thought we said we were. I thought.
I thought we did, but oh well.
It would have killed him to log on to Skype. You know, this guy gets these lazy guys. Like
I
Beats.
See John Cruz got involved here too, so they're having their own conversation over email.
So we're going to have two. I'll have to post their podcast and our podcast. Is going to start civil war.
But anyway, that is a thought. And if anybody out there has thoughts about one way or the other, one configuration or another for Yale, just follow up on the blog for the podcast, because I'm actually I'm interested to hear what the community's reaction would be. There may be some reason why it would be the worst thing in the world, or you know, who knows. But
I'd be here curious to hear about what people think about tournaments. I mean, about award ceremonies in general. Yeah.
That too. Are they curmudgeons like me, or are they enthusiasts like Menick? And there's a line you'll never hear again.
I think enthusiasts like Cruz. I'm more like semi-Cruzian, but you know, happy to be Pomerian, depending on the way the wind blows.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, I will see you this weekend. We'll be at Scarsdale together. So.
Indeed. That's what Mr. Cruz is, right?
Yeah, but not Mr. Beats. Okay, so take care, and I'll see you at the end of the week. Yeah, let me just turn this sucker off.